With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, Undisputed listeners. This is Skip Bayless. Weekdays on Undisputed, I debate my co-host Shannon Sharp on the biggest sports news of the day. But now it is time for me to unleash in a brand new way. Introducing the Skip Bayless Show. My opportunity to share behind-the-scenes stories about things I've seen and confrontations I've had from decades covering the NFL and NBA. This is an opportunity to go so much deeper into solo opinions that just don't fit in rapid-fire debate. I will respond to your no-holds-barred questions. You can ask me anything about why I've said what I've said or about what goes on off-camera on Undisputed. Your question should be as provocative as you want. My answer sure will be. New episodes of the Skip Bayless Show will come out each week. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
But 2 minutes left in the half last night, Russell Westbrook had a highlight reel dunk over three-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, and didn't shy away from celebrating after the fact. So, Shannon, what did you make of Westbrook's reaction after the dunk?
I was excited for him because it was a great play. It got the crowd into the ball game. It got his team into the ball game. But we know Russ can be explosive. Skip, we've seen him miss a lot of dunks this year. We've seen him miss a lot of layups this year because I think sometimes he leaves the floor and he's indecisive. That's why he jumps up in the air and doesn't have a plan of where to go with the basketball and turns it over. When he turned the corner last night, he's like, I'm dunking this basketball. And I don't care who's under there. I don't care if that's Rudy Gobert, a three-time Defensive Player of the Year. I am going to dunk this basketball. And just because Rudy Gobert is a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, it doesn't exempt you from being dunked on, Skip. You cover this game long enough. You know, if you play it long enough, somebody's going to poke on you. I saw Kevin Johnson dunk on Hakeem Olajuwon. I saw John Stark dunk on everybody in a Chicago Bulls uniform. I saw Michael Jordan posterize Dikembe Mutombo, Patrick Ewing. It does not matter. If you play this game long enough, LeBron James has been dunked on. Kobe Bryant's been dunked on. Kevin Durant's been dunked on. Play it long enough, you'll get dunked on. But it was great to see Skip, him make up in his mind, I'm going to the hole, I'm going to dunk on it, and who's ever under the basket, this will be a night you will want to forget. So it was a great play. It got him going. And guess what, Skip? It might have been his best play in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah, it just might have been. But before I answer the question, allow me to comment on the stifled tower. Rudy Gobert has to be the softest three-time Defensive Player of the Year ever. He's just
I knew
charming.
You were going to say that. I knew it.
Well, seriously. I mean, LeBron's telling everybody, including Stanley Johnson on his third 10-day, just go up into his body, attack his body. I don't know how he gets to be Defensive Player of the Year. Remember last year, I keep bringing up the game, Ben Simmons went out to Utah without Embiid and just said, watch this. And he just terrorized him. He scored 42 on him, made 12 or 13 free throws. I don't know. I don't get it. But now back to Russ. What a reaction
from Russell Westbrook after this dunk. And I give it a 10 as far as dunks go. But
oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, he gets an immediate tech for taunting. Okay, that we knew that was coming. And then
yeah, he should've.
He celebrates some with his teammates. He leaves Dwight completely hanging. He just leaves them like high, like hanging. And then he wants to walk down the baseline and scream to the Laker fans. And I believe he was screaming at Laker Nation. And I can't read his lips, but I just believe the gist of what he was saying was, how dare you doubt me? I'm Russell bleeping Westbrook. How dare you doubt me? Well, Russ, the reason we doubt you is you still lead the league in turnovers. And after last night's 1 of 4 from the three-point line, would you believe you rank 152nd out of 153 qualified three-point shooters in the NBA? You're at 28.9% from the three-point line. Seriously? From the free throw line, you have plummeted to 66.8%. That ranks 98th of 100 qualified free throw shooters. It's just hard for me to get inspired by his celebration when I don't know what he's celebrating. Himself? I've told you from the start, he's the ultimate solo
just
act.
Just that place, Gil.
So, okay, just that. Okay, but it's... It doesn't contribute to winning because you said it inspired the team. I think it did for about 2 minutes until they went to the locker room for halftime. And then they come out, and in the fourth quarter, they're down 9 with 8 minutes left. I don't know. It's just hard for me to stomach the fact that that guy who's celebrating got benched in the fourth quarter for the betterment of the basketball team. I believe the biggest reason they won that game against a very good Utah team last night was that Frank Vogel had the guts to bench that guy and play him only 3 minutes and 24 seconds of the fourth quarter while playing an undrafted rookie from Oklahoma, Austin Reeves, 9 minutes. In the end, I just have lost so much respect for Russ, a slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer, that as a winning basketball player, I give you the solo act plays, but it's hard for me to jump out of my seat about it because it does not contribute to your Lakers being any better than 22-22, .500.
Yeah, Skip, you're absolutely right. And I'm not here, I'm not going to debate you on the overall body of work and what the Lakers have put in or the overall body of work of what Russ has done this year. But just that one play, Skip, you got to admit, that was probably the most exciting play in the NBA last night. Oh. And it got him going, and it seemed like he was like saying, what y'all gonna say now? What y'all got something to say about that? Y'all been criticizing me the whole while talking about turnovers, about my shooting. What about
that's
that?
What
I just poked
saying.
On a 7'2" guy.
Yeah, he slammed on
you. I got him, Rudy Gobert. You talk about Rudy Saul.
And it was a good moment. We can give him that. We have been hard on the guy lately, so let's give him the moment.
No mercy.
In only his second career playoff game, Odell Beckham Jr. came up huge in the Rams' 34-11 win. The talented wideout caught all four of his targets for 54 yards and a touchdown. And he also completed a 40-yard pass on a trick play that set up another touchdown. So, Shannon, how big a role will Odell play Sunday against the Bucs?
Well, I think it'll be a very similar role to what the one he played last night, Skip. It's all going to be contingent on what are the Bucks trying to do to stop Cooper Kupp. If you're going to take two guys to deal with Cooper Kupp, that means Odell's going to have one-on-one coverage, and he's going to have to win. He knows the likelihood of him getting the 10, 11, 12 targets that he got when he was a Giants early in his career. Probably not going to happen unless, like I said, the Bucks says, you know what, we're going to dedicate two guys to Cooper Kupp, and we're going to play one-on-one else across the board. That's when Odell has to go back to being Odell and make sure that if he gets 10 targets, he comes down with 8 or 9 of those, 400-plus yards and a touchdown or two. And so I believe the role will be similar. They give him opportunities. Odell is going to make those plays, especially if you're trying to neutralize Cooper Kupp, because we saw what Cooper Kupp did in the regular season. And it seems to me, Skip, the Cardinals went out of their way to make sure he didn't do what he had done to them in the previous two games in which he had played. And so that's why you saw Higbee have big catches early. We saw Odell do what he did. And Cam was able to run the football. He and Sonny Michel was able to run the football like they did. So I'm not worried about Odell. Odell will be just fine. Given the opportunity one-on-one, Odell's going to win.
But wait a second. Last time the Rams played at Tampa Bay, I'm looking at these stats, and Robert Woods got 15 targets and caught 12 of them for 120 yards. Cooper Kupp still got his. He had 13 targets and caught 11 for 145. So they both 8 and 8 and 8 against pretty much the same defense. It is the same defense. So I thought that Odell was supposed to replace Robert Woods. So why wouldn't he get 15 targets and catch 12
for
120? Because
he wasn't supposed to replace. Actually, he was supposed to replace Van Jefferson. Robert Woods was supposed to be there. Remember, Robert Woods went down that Friday after Odell got there that Wednesday. So, no, he was not supposed to replace Robert Woods. He was supposed to be there in addition to Robert Woods.
Okay, so I can't figure out why going into last night, Odell threw those first 8 Rams games in regular season play, had average catching 3.6 balls per game for a grand total of 38 yards per game. And last night he caught 4 for 54 because he got loose for 131-yarder. Well, I thought he was a dynamo. I thought he was a franchise changer. I thought he had the greatest pair of hands that we've ever seen in the NFL. And you keep telling me, Odell, oh this. And I'm like, oh, what?
You keep telling me because you keep telling me Baker. You keep telling me Cleveland. And they're home, and Odell is in the divisional round of the playoffs. Odell got 6 touchdowns in 9 games with the Rams. How many did he have with Cleveland? He seemed to catch the ball from Matt Stafford.
Okay, but Odell has become the Rams' 4th receiver on the list, behind even Van Jefferson and Higbee. So, really? I thought he was Odell, all caps. And he said after the game last night, we're ready to make a run. I need to see targets. I need to see pressure, expectation. I need to see Odell be Odell again.
You remember he was Odell in New York and they weren't winning games. See, I want to see wins. So if Odell catch 4 passes and they win, I'm happy, as opposed to 10 or 12. Because when he was catching passes, all you were saying then, what are those targets getting you? What are those catches, those fantastic catches getting you? You always bring up the greatest catch we ever saw. You know what happened in that game, Shannon? The Cowboys beat him. So now you're trying to flip it. He's playing well. They're winning. Now you say, I need to see more targets. I need to see more catches. I just need to see Odell win. If he wins, everything else takes care of itself. No mercy.